Why a lampkin? Why? Why a baby lamp? Why does the Concordant translate it lampkin and not lamb? And why a lamb or a lambkin in the first place? Why not a buffalo or a rhinoceros or an ostrich? I'm going to answer these important questions today on the Revelation series. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is Martin Zender. And, you know, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's an office. It means anointed. It means that he has been chosen and authorized by God to do certain things. It's a term of doing. It's a term of being, again, designated by God for specific tasks. And if we love Jesus Christ, we will be interested in every title that he has, including Lamb. What does it mean? What is lambkin? That's why we're investigating this, because we love him. That's why this show's not sensational. That's why people say, Martin, you need to talk about fiery things. And yet I'm talking to people who want to know God, who want to get into the mind of God, find out why there's a lambkin receiving a scroll that is going to shift the governments and the religions of this earth from humanity to God. That's what you're about. That's what I'm about. So this is about the lambkin. Why a lambkin? Let's review here quickly. Let's read the passage, the beginning of chapter 5 again. And I perceived in the center of the throne and of the four animals and in the center of the elders a lambkin, which is a baby lamb, standing as though slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. Going to talk about that tomorrow, which are the seven spirits of God commissioned for the entire earth. And it came and has taken it out of the right hand of him who is sitting on the throne. That is, it has taken the scroll. And when it took the scroll, that is the lambkin, because it's a neuter gender in the Greek. So don't blame me for it. This is a good translation. It's not disparaging in any way. It just agrees in accord with the laws of language and the gender of the noun. So it's not my fault. It took the scroll, the four animals, when that happened, the four animals and the 24 elders fall in sight of the lambkin, in sight of a lambkin. In front of the lambkin, we have the elders and the animals falling on their face, each having, this is God's operation. This is humanity's operation. Nobody falls in front of a little baby lamb. God's ways are not humanity's ways. Nowhere to me is this more evident than the lamb. Than that particular animal coming to represent Christ. There's not a literal lamb standing there. I mean, John sees it, but that's not what it is. It's a vision, and the lamb represents something. What does it represent? Of course, that the power of God comes not by physical means, not by claws, not by armaments, not by anger, but by gentleness. The spirit versus the more human ways of doing things. It took the scroll, elders fall, animals fall, and they have lyre, golden bowls brimming with incenses, prayers of the saints. All right, we talked about that. Now, we know the title Christ, again, means anointed, one chosen by God, delegated by God. Christ speaks of three things. He's anointed as prophet, potentate, and priest. Potentate merely means king, but it's fun to say prophet, potentate, and priest because of the alliterative factor. But we're talking about the religion, priest, the politics, potentate or king, and he functions as a prophet, giving his words and instructing the people of that day. But now we're seeing him in a different capacity, as a lambkin. Now, this is the diminutive form of the word. Why lambkin? For one thing, this is very simple. I know that A. Enoch has been criticized for using that translation. Why don't you just say lamb? Because the Authorized Version, the King James, I mean, come on, they say lamb. All these other versions say lamb. Well, simply this. Let's get right to the point. The word lamb in the Greek is the Greek word amnos, A-M-N-O-S. There's a different Greek word for lambkin. It's the diminutive form. That is, it's the wee little form, the baby form. And it's arnion, A-R-N-I-O-N, the diminutive form. It's a little lamb. So why get upset about that? It's a detail. And it's not an insignificant one, because anytime God changes the word, changes the title, we need to pay attention to that if we love God, if we love His word, and if we want to know another aspect of Jesus Christ. And we do. So if you have a personal prejudice against that, I suggest you drop it. This is based on two different words. Now, our Lord is first called a lamb. And I'm going to tell you the difference why a lamb versus a lambkin. He's first called a lamb in John chapter 1, verse 29. I think this is the first time ever. Yeah, because he's just showing up here. Matthew, no, I think John's the first one. Lo, the Lamb of God. I'm in 129 John. Lo, the Lamb of God, which is taking away the sin of the world. And of course, we know the Lamb ties him to the types in Israel that a Lamb was slain. Israel learned soon that sin was so bad in God's sight that a lamb, a living animal, had to be offered. And we found out in Genesis that God valued the blood. And he rejected, didn't he, Cain's sacrifice, bringing him grapes and raisins. As wonderful as raisins are, and I do love raisins and grapes and kale and cabbage and lettuce and carrots and beets, and pomegranates, perhaps even olives, God spit it out because he said, I want something more valuable to you. It didn't cost Cain much, but Abel sacrificed a beloved young animal. And you know how hard it is to kill. I told you last week how hard it is for me to kill. Well, this just shows the seriousness of sin. And again, in Acts 8:32, we are reading again of the lamb. We have the Ethiopian eunuch speaking to Philip, and he's reading out of Isaiah, and Isaiah says this. I'm in Acts 8:32. As a sheep to slaughter was he led. As a sheep to slaughter. As a lamb in front of his shearer is not bleating, B-L-E-A-T. That is not speaking. Not doing that. Not one word of complaint from Jesus Christ. This is the power of spirit again. Jesus Christ did not yell at Pilate. He did not rail in any sense. He didn't carry a placard or a bullhorn. He didn't protest. And this is important, we see, as the Lamb of God. He is overcoming evil, not as a beast, as a monster, which we're going to see that great contrast. The beast of Revelation has iron teeth and copper claws, whereas the Lamb doesn't even bleat. And yet, it's a composite figure, the lambkin is. We're talking about the seven eyes and the seven horns. So I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. It's not just a baby lamb. It also has, there's different aspects. Now, he's not opening his mouth. In his humiliation, his judging was taken away. So all these things that earthly potentates use, judgment, power, armaments, might, were taken away from him. And yet, and his life is taken away from the earth. Verse 33. And yet, it was the Lamb of God slain who delivered, who redeemed the entire earth. And we said that it's redeemed, it's bought by the Lamb, but it's ultimately delivered by the Lion of Judah. And this is where the different aspects of the lambkin come in that we're going to talk about tomorrow. One more place, 1 Peter 1:19 reads this way. Speaking of the precious blood of Christ, talked about that on Friday, as a flawless and unspotted lamb, flawless and unspotted, foreknown indeed before the disruption, but Revelation 13:8, slain from the disruption. There's a really great nuance there. I probably don't have time to get into it now, although I would like to. The difference between being foreknown before the disruption. God knew about it, which means it had to happen, and yet the Lamb was slain from the disruption. The disruption was the beginning of sin, and so the slaying of the Lamb began at the beginning of sin, because sin had an answer right away, but it's unveiled in due time. So we're familiar with Lamb, but now for the first time, Lamb's not enough. A Lamb speaks of sacrifice and submission. Sacrifice and submission. We read that the lamb didn't even bleat. It didn't even go, meh. Jesus did not complain. He did not yell. He did not have a bullhorn. Unlike political people today, Christian political people who have their bullhorns and their placards. We didn't see this at the Fortress Antonia, did we? No, we saw Jesus silent as a sheep before the shearers. But now we're seeing something different with Lampkin. This is where the nuances come in, and the details that you and I love. It speaks of his gentleness, his weakness, and his defenselessness. Three things. The fourth thing is really the great thing. But let's look at these things. The gentleness and weakness and defenselessness. You say, well, that's the lamb too. No, but there's a difference. The lamb was the offering. The lamb was the designated sacrifice. So we really weren't looking at the characteristics of it in detail, except maybe for this one, submission. And Peter brought that out in chapter 1, verse 19. The submission, the not complaining, the going quietly. But now we have a subfolder here. Just double-click it, and it's opening up, and we're seeing gentleness, weakness, and utter defenselessness. And we're also seeing this, youth. That's the key, I think, is youth. Eternal youth. And this is what we want. We see a lamb grows old, but he's the lambkin. After all this time, first mentioned as a lamb in John, now he's still the lambkin. It's eternally new. He's eternally young. And I love this because we all love young stuff, don't we? People love to watch the youth. The music of the youth is always vibrant. It's always alive. It's always the latest, greatest thing. And the music of the generations of the past, Lawrence Welk, we don't like that stuff anymore. We want Elvis. That was in the 50s. Now today, you want, I don't even know, I'm going to embarrass myself by trying to mention a popular act today. But Christ is always young. He's the lambkin. It's always fresh out of the womb. It's like, man, I'm here, man, the lambkin. I just picture him like frolicking around like a kitten. Don't you love to see kittens? I love it. They're playing around. They're vibrant. They're happy. They love life. And you just wish your cats could stay kittens, right? How many people have told me that? I wish my cat could just stay a kitten all the time. I understand that. So, but that's what's happening with the lambkin. He's always young. He's always vital. He's always vibrant. He's never old. He's not the Christ of the ancient days, wear this long white beard. Christ, you know, he had this short brown beard in the first century, but now he has a long white beard because he's old. No, he's even in these days ahead of us, the unveiling. He's a young one, a young one. So not just sacrifice and submission, which is the Lamb of Israel. Now we see gentleness, weakness, utter defenselessness. That gives us even more depth of an understanding. But now we have youth. It's a baby lamb, and it stays that way. I just love that. It's almost playful. So what does this tell us? Of course, the weakness of God is more powerful than the most powerful confederacy earth can muster, the weakness of God. And listen to this quote. I'm going to read this directly from A. E. Nock here. How sublime is the contrast between the powers of evil and the powers of God. A monstrous dragon leads the powers of darkness to defeat. A little lambkin leads the legions of light to victory. Look at that. A monstrous dragon. Going to look at this later this week. I'm going to do something that's never before been attempted. I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but I'm going to do it this week. You got to stay tuned. It gets better and better. I'm telling you, this series is going to get better and better. A monstrous dragon leads the powers of darkness to what? Defeat. And that's what we talked about yesterday. Humanity, as great as it is, as much bluster as it has, it always leads its legions to defeat while trying its darndest to succeed. And again, I laugh out loud at that. That's the pathos I was telling you about. That's the failure. When you're trying so hard and you fail, it's hilarious to me. It's much better to give up from the beginning and let God do it. But when you're trying, well, we're the powers of the earth, we're going to take over. And they're like, oops, we failed. I love that. It's hilarious. A monstrous dragon leads the powers of darkness to defeat. The powers of darkness, Satan. It's almost laughable. I'm not going to laugh at him on the air, but it's almost laughable. It's like, again, I go back to that martial arts guy at the airport and Indiana Jones. And yet a little lambkin leads the legions of light. Notice all those L's. A little lambkin leads the legions of light to what? Victory. There must be a word for victory that starts with L. I will check my thesaurus and get back with you on that tomorrow.